if we have no other thing, if we come to really comprehend and believe deep in our hearts the truth of that simple three words, God is good, then we will be able to use it, and it will bail us out, propel us through, carry us over anything. Because that doesn't change. God is good. Everything around us changes, you know. My goodness, with the things like ISIS in the world and people just executing policemen and making excuses for it, and people that are supposed to have a brain agreeing that they have an excuse for it because something else, you know. Everything is so wrapped up in the past, you know. Hey, nobody that I know of in this whole wide world has not been done wrong. Everybody, you know, everybody has experienced done somebody wrong song, okay? Everybody has. And some seem huger than others, but the truth of the matter is the person that was done wrong, it's huge to them. You know, I have people that I have known that are still living in high school. I'll be talking to them and they'll be saying, "Remember that play? Remember when you hit me this way?" And I'm going, I don't live for the football plays that I played in high school. There's a couple that I remember in college, you know, that I never mention, but they were kind of odd. It was almost like there was a play in college. My foot was hurt, and I wasn't really running well at all. But it was as though, I think maybe, as I think about it now, it was one of those times where God just cleared the way, and I limped 40 yards for a touchdown. I mean, basically limped, but everybody got out of the way. Because obviously, if they didn't get out of the way, they could have caught me, they could have tackled me. But I wandered in on that, and I think one of those things where God was trying to show me. But I mean, I wasn't giving any credit to God, you know. To be honest with you, I had a terrible attitude, you know, because, I don't know, we don't need to go into that. But the thing was, is that, and that was, again, looking back, you know, being trapped in the past. We can't be trapped by our own mistakes, and we can't be trapped by what other people have done to us. We can't worry about that. That's past. And in Hebrews, you know, it said if they were thinking about the country they had left, they could have gone back. And I would just like to say that if we think about the country we left, we will go back. If they had been thinking about the country they had left, they would have gone back. But it says they weren't looking for what was behind. They were looking for what's ahead. As we end a year, wouldn't it be a good thing to look at what's ahead? Wouldn't it be a good thing to anticipate a different future? If it's been good, a better future. If it's been bad, a greater future. If we just anticipated that, rather than being trapped in basing what could happen on what did happen, rather and what we thought should happen, but just say, okay, should old acquaintance be forgot, never brought to mind. Let's look at what God promises. Let's look at what God expects us to anticipate. Rather than the looking back. This last week, Rachel was switching billfolds. And as she went through an old billfold, she said, "Oh, I've got this Verizon gift card. I wonder how I find out what's on it." I said, "Look on the back. There's numbers." She checked on it. "I haven't even used it. I need to get this used. It's got to be used in 2014. And I mean, it was a frenzy to get that baby spent. And those are sometimes complicated to spend because they wouldn't let her spend extra. They wouldn't let her put in another credit card to pay the rest of it. And so, this $50 that I've got to get spent." And ultimately she said, "Wait a minute. I'll just buy another gift card. So she bought another gift card with that, and now she was ready to go. But the fact of the matter was, is it was credit that was going to run out. They say, and I don't know the, but it's billions of dollars, literally billions of dollars in gift cards every year that are given at Christmas that run out. Ain't that crazy? But you see, it gets put in a wallet ready to use, and then it's not getting used. And then one day you find it, and you find out it expired. Now, why didn't they send a note to say it was going to expire? Because that's money. That's cash in their pocket. And in the same way, folks, there are a multitude of gift cards that are never used that God offers. Never applied, even though we have them, even though we're carrying them, we don't use them. I want to use mine. I want to. And I didn't think too much about that. I just got a chuckle out of Rachel. I got to get this spent, you know. I mean, sometimes she's a little bit that way anyway. I got to buy something. But, you know, this was money that needed to be spent. Use it or lose it. And, I mean, she put thought into how to get it used or lose. She shopped and shopped and shopped. But then when she found something she wanted, it came out to the over the amount. And then she had an epiphany. I think her sister gave her the epiphany. Buy a gift card. Who'd have thunk it? I can use my gift card to buy a gift card. Now I'm ready to go. But she put an effort into getting it used. And that's a good spiritual application. But I hadn't thought about it too much until I was having this dream, and it was almost a dream like that. I don't remember the dream entirely, but it was like something like a credit card. I don't know if it was a problem or it wasn't a problem, but I think I was trying to get it paid, and I was like having anxiety in my sleep. And as I woke up, the words in my head were credit increase. And I don't need a credit increase. I don't like to borrow. But I love to use credit cards, ones that pay me. If they don't pay me, I don't want their credit card. If they call me and tell me they've got a great deal, I say, how much will you pay me for using your credit card? Well, we have great protection, and we have great this and great that, and you can get deals at these places. I said, but what do you pay me when I use it? Well, sir, we don't pay anything. I said, then I don't want your credit card. I got credit cards that'll pay me. Pay me to use them. But a credit increase, I felt like God was telling me that I had a credit increase. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, you know, with God, it's an unlimited thing. But the fact of the matter is, even though it's unlimited, it increases as we realize the revelation. And so what God was telling me was to increase your credit. Increase your understanding and your revelation to see these things. And so, you know, I thought about that, and then I also thought about how many times the credit that we have, we don't use. I have one card that they just keep increasing my credit limit. I would never want to use as much as on it. And yet I think, well, wait a minute. If they pay me back to use that, if I can get somebody to take that, a huge purchase, I just pay it back, you know. We'll just get that done. So that card, I just keep active for that day, you know. If I see a great deal somewhere along the way, and I just run that plastic. And understand that God has given us a limit we never pay back. We can't pay it back. We never have to worry about the bill coming in. We don't have to be concerned about anything with that. Because God has just arranged that. We have a credit increase for healing. We have a credit increase for deliverance. We have a credit increase for provision. And how much of that credit we will use is entirely up to us. Now some people will Christmas will max out their credit cards and they won't have them paid down by the next year. And they will just be supporting the credit card company, paying way more than they should be paying, and yet not considering that, not considering just get them knocked down. Well, with God, he just says, use your credit. So then the day before yesterday, I was helping Dean Shepherd, and I had my little drill and my little adapter and my little nut driver and my little drill, and I was going over to Alger's house to get a fresh battery for it, and I came walking back and my little adapter and my little bit were gone. I said, oh no, I mean, you know, 4 inches of snow or whatever it was on the ground, it's a little tough to find a little silver thing laying there, but boy, I wanted to find that, and I did. I looked in my pockets. I thought, well, maybe, it, you know, praise God, he probably just guided it into my pocket. It's just right there in my pocket. It wasn't in my pocket. So all day, everywhere, every time I went back and forth, I'm looking in the snow. I mean, it's stupid, I realize, because now I've walked over it. Where is it? You know? So I'm thinking, well, praise the Lord, I'm going to find that in the spring. That's it. It's going to be there. We're going to find that. It's going to be a joyous celebration, you know. But on my last trip over before I went home that evening, I said, God, this is a little thing, but I really want that back. I'd just really like to have that back. And I searched my pockets, and it wasn't there. So I got home, and my pockets were torn. I caught them on metal, so Vicky was going to patch my pockets. And so she instantaneously got busy patching those pockets, and she got the pockets patched, and she got it hung up, and everything was just dandy. And so the next morning, I'm going to get dressed, and I go to put on my coat. I put my hands in my pockets because I wanted to sort my screws out, because the day before, I had red ones coming up when I wanted white ones, and white ones coming up when I wanted red ones, you know, a red wall with a white screw or a white wall with a red screw, you know. So then you got to take them back out, and you got to fix them. So I stuck my hands in my pockets. I was just going to sort my screws. I pulled out the screws in my left pocket. They were all white, and there was the adapter. Now, I didn't think about the color of the screws at the time. I just thought about, there it is. So I'm praising God. I'm saying, Vicky, I got to tell you this story about my lost adapter. She jumps out of her chair and comes, let me tell you the rest of the story. I said, okay, tell me the rest of the story. She said, it wasn't there last night either. It was not there last night because I took the stuff out of your pockets and I patched it. I said, well, thank you for sorting out the screws. She said, I didn't sort the screws. I just threw everything in one pocket. I said, you just threw everything in one pocket? Yes, I just threw it all in one pocket. I had to take it out to patch it. I just put it all in a pocket. I said, honey, not only is my adapter there, but my white screws are in my left pocket, my red screws are in my right pocket. Everything is sorted and everything is perfect. I said, how good is God? And I looked at that, and then I began, God just sort of dropped it in my head again to see, that's a credit increase. Use that, Roger, to understand what a credit increase is. There's nothing too big and nothing too small. Now, I'm not talking about getting stuff from God. I'm just talking about the way that God thinks. Brother Rogers called last week, and he was telling me, so then he wrote it up for me. He said he had an 8-hour vision. And he said, in the vision, he said, my pastor, Roger Day in America, was standing there, and this real tall person whose feet were on the ground and head was in heaven was standing right behind him, and the pastor was giving me a black Bible and a towel, and I said, Daddy, why are you giving me a black Bible and a towel? I understand the Bible, but why the towel? And the man standing behind my daddy said, use the towel to wash the tears of my people. And then Brother Rogers went on to say that God has told him to reach 100 million people in Africa. That's not really too impossible in Africa. They gather 30, 40, 50,000 no matter what. But here's the deal. He's talking to me, and he's telling me about, you know, he said, Daddy, we've, you know, if you could share a message with the people, if you could just talk to them, if you could send us an audio file where you're just talking to my people so they could get to know me, could you do that? And I said, well, yeah, I could. I said, I said, "Brother, you know, there's all those audio files on the website that you can access anytime you want to." He said, "Oh, Daddy, I've got to tell you now that you've mentioned it. That's what I preach. I listen to your messages and then I preach them to the people, and the people are growing in that way." He said, "So I am using them, Daddy." I said, "So then it isn't really going to be a problem for you if I do a special message for your people." "Oh, no, Daddy, that would be so wonderful. They would love it so much. We pray for you all the time, Daddy." Yeah. And so I will tell you something. He will listen to this and he will have a better message than I do about increased credit in God. Because the increase of God's anointing upon the word, you see, it's an increasing word. So when the word comes to you, you have the authority and the power to speed it up and to thrust it through. You know, it's like in a bowling alley, the balls go into the roller and they just kind of gently move into this little machine, and then this belt grabs them and just whoop, throws them clear back up there. You see, it gets in it. Well, you see, the word gets into your machine, and now then you determine what you'll do with that credit. You determine whether you will just say, "Hey, it will work for me," or whether you say, "Nah, I've tried it and it doesn't work." No one's ever tried it and had it not work. But we need to understand that there are things that interfere. There are things that stand in opposition. There are things that wait for the breakthrough. Mary was talking about Tony. Last week, we did battle with the devil. Serious battle with the devil. And the devil was defeated. But just because the devil is defeated does not mean that the person takes the things that belong to them. The first step was being willing to have the devil defeated. But the next step is to take the authority and the power that God gives us. Mary said, "I was wondering what we did wrong, you know? Well, you know, how come he was still doing some of the same stuff?" But she said there was peace there. You see, the peace replaced the anti-peace. And I wasn't wondering what we did wrong, but I did ask God. I said, "God, there is no reason that needs to take so long." You know, Jesus chased them off with a word. So, okay, you know, Holy Spirit, flow over me. You know, I don't want to. But at the same time, I have had that experience other times with people, and it was just as quick as a word that Jesus spoke. So I don't know why. It doesn't really make any difference to me why. I knew that as it was going on, God was saying, "Just be steadfast." In the midst of the length of it, I did get to see the authority of God and the power of God over the power of darkness on numerous occasions. I saw him just arrest spirits. I saw the spirits try to lie, and I saw them recognize that they couldn't lie because someone knew the truth. So I saw that. Now, I don't really need to see that. You know, there's some things you just don't need to see. But I'm not so foolish as to not say, "Okay, I'll log that. I'll take that as a credit increase. I'll take that as God extending his measure toward me and toward anyone who will believe." We are entering a new year. Now, every day we enter a new day. And old things pass away and all things become new. And we make that determination. So then we hear the word of God and we decide whether we will apply the word of God or not apply the word of God. In the same way that a person who is delivered from the power of Satan decides whether or not they want to live in freedom, or whether they, once they are free to make a choice, make a wrong choice. It can happen. We can walk with God for a long time and make wrong choices, can't we? Have wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, wrong everything. We can have those things happen to us and we can say, "How in the world did I do that? Why did I do that?" But we can correct them. We can correct them. You know, you talk about credit cards. We had a credit card that Vicky shopped at Target once, and that credit card has been whacked out numerous times. They don't get any money. They get caught all the time. But they always issue a new credit card. When they issue a new credit card, then you've got to tell everybody that they were using it for automatic payments that, hey, that credit card, you need a new number. Now, most people, when it doesn't pay, they send you an email that says, hey, it didn't go through. What's the deal? Not Verizon. I don't know. They just got stupid written all over them or something. I have no idea what their problem is. But they don't bother to let you know that it didn't go through. And the credit card company says that they will cover the ones that are from regular people because they've been getting it all the time. But somewhere or another between the two. So now Vicky's ready for an upgrade, and you know she's a gadget girl, and she wants a different phone. And so she calls, and she's going to do it, and they say, well, we'd be happy to do this for you, but your bill's not paid. So I'm working on a wall, and a phone call is coming, but I don't hear the phone call, don't notice the phone call. Pretty soon, here comes Teresa over to say, Roger, Rachel needs you to call her. It seems to be really important. I said, what's so important? I call. She said, Dad, apparently you didn't pay the phone card bill. So now Mom can't get it done, in pretty much that voice. She was just, you know, apparently something happened and the bill didn't get paid and you need to take care of this. I said, I need to take care of this now? Give me a break. It's not that big of a deal. I'm not going to spend the time it takes on Verizon to get that fixed. Well, ultimately that was the whole deal. They ran it. It didn't go. They just ran the bill and tried to charge me extra because they just ran the bill. They credited me in a hurry. The number got changed. Everything was fine. But you have to have the right number on it. And that's, faith is our number. F-A-I-T-H. That's our passcode. That is our name and our password. Faith. And if we want to make it a long password, which is better, confidence in our faith. But this is what God offers us. And so he says, do you trust me? Do you have confidence in me? Are you sure of me? Do you believe? You know, you see, what is credited to our account the moment we come to know the Lord is unlimited credit, and yet that credit increases with our understanding. Things we never know, we find out, wow, I never knew. It's so amazing. Now, what is important is that we learn to hold fast to the things that are amazing. Instead of holding on and being defeated by the things we just don't quite understand. See, we have to have confidence that what God did for a man who was possessed will last. Not give up on it because we're not seeing the manifestation that we want. One person can be set free and immediately go pray for the sick. Another person can be set free and continue to be sick because they choose to. So Joshua said, choose this day who you will follow. Choose what course we want to take. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to trust the Lord. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to put our confidence in the Lord. Our response is going to be, God is good, God is able. We're just going to keep sticking with that. No matter what we see, no matter what we feel, no matter what we experience, that does not change how good God is. Because he wants to rob. The devil wants to rob us of what God has for us. Now, Vicky wasn't deterred on getting a phone because they wouldn't do it because the bill wasn't paid. She was going to get the bill paid. Because she wanted that. How much do we want what God has for us? Enough to overcome, enough to do what's necessary to get the credit applied. Enough to stand, and when we've done everything to stand therefore with our loins girt with truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the feet shod of the preparation of the gospel of peace and sword of spirit and a helmet of salvation, you know, praying in the Holy Spirit with confidence, expecting. See? I'd already planned on expecting to find that peace in the spring when it thawed. I had planned that so much that honestly when I first took it out of my pocket, I looked at my hand and I thought, isn't that what I was looking for? That was what I was looking for. But that was a big deal. But to me, a seal on it, a proof on it, was that the screws were pre-sorted in my pockets. I mean, it was like, obviously. I don't understand. And it was cold. It was cold. So I don't know what time it got picked up and put in my pocket. But I do remember that it was cold. And my coat was hanging in the house. It was cold in my pocket. I can't explain it, but I'm sure not afraid to tell it. Because I don't know why. But I know that when God says nothing is too small and nothing is too big. And I believe that there is so much around us to try to remove God and try to cause doubt and cause us to fear and cause people to wonder and cause people to question that God is saying, I'm increasing the credit, use it so you cannot be defeated. Use it so you cannot be defeated. Expect God. This is the confidence we have that when we pray, we know that He hears us. We know He hears us. We know He hears us. And because we know He hears us, we know that we have the things that we ask Him. So we have them before we see them. We know that Scripture tells us that hope, you don't have to hope for things that you already have. If that thing wouldn't have been in my pocket, I'd have still been planning on spring. Every now and then, I'd have just said, I'm going to find that in the spring, but I'm not going to find it in the spring no more. I got it now. I should bronze it and frame it and stick it in a little thing as a memory. I won't have to do that. I'm going to use it. I'm just going to use it. Here's the deal. Even when I was saying I really want that, I was saying, God, I know I've got others. I know I've got more of those. I don't know why, Lord, I just want that. And apparently sometime in the night, He decided, I want you to have that. Why wait till spring? You can use it tomorrow. Oh, I used it yesterday. I just used it. And every time I look at it, I use it. I just like that. I said, oh, that God is good. I got to work. First thing I did was I said, Dean, I got to tell you about this. He just stood there and looked at me. You know, just. And he kind of smiled. And then he kind of come to that place where reality would set in. And he looked at me like maybe I was a little crazy, you know. But he never said, oh, that can't be. He just sort of, okay, you know. That's right, she ironed the patches on, so everything came out of the pocket. She didn't sort my screws. It wasn't in the pocket, but it was there in the morning, and the screws were just where they ought to be, and I'm giving God the glory. Amen. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And I'm telling you that God does things for everyone. And those things, I started to believe for God to find things in a one paragraph thing that I read by Bill Johnson about I want my knife back. And I thought, well, bless God. If it'll work for him, it'll work for me. You know? Has it worked every single time? I don't know, because it could still be coming. You know? But boy, it's worked a lot of times and some remarkable times. And that's the way we need to be about faith and about grace and about the Word of God, is to not only be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. If we hear it, it bears witness with our spirit. Get it into action. Get it moving. Whoosh it through. Push it around. Like we talked about a merry-go-round. You get it going, and then you just keep moving that thing. You just keep moving that thing. Just keep faster and faster and faster and faster. Because he's an ever-increasing God. Yeah, that just about makes me dizzy talking about it. whoa. I'm sorry. Anybody else who feels that way, forgive me, you know. But it does. But you see something? You see how even that imagination has effect on us? So what happens if we just have an imagination of God doing things? If we just have an imagination of God accelerating things, and we begin to speak with confidence of God's accelerating it and God's taking care of it, and all of a sudden we begin to feel it picking up speed. Maybe we've been like a person stalled on an elevator, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and all of a sudden the hum and the elevator begins to move. Oh, there's elation in that. It's a good thing. So maybe there are things that have seemed to be stalled, but all the time things are getting ready, and begin to imagine it's starting. It's starting. It's starting. When I used to have my Jetta and I would start it in the winter or try to start it in the winter, and I was sitting there, and they tell you, you know, a normal car, you don't crank it many times, but that one, they say just crank it. It'll quit when it's tired of trying. You know? And so you crank it and crank it and crank it, and all of a sudden you hear that little like it's going to try, and then it's tired and it quits. You get right back at it and you go after it again, and you know, you want to have a good battery, but all of a sudden, and you see the familiar black smoke. You know what I used to do after I built the new garage? Before I would start it, I would push it so the back end was outside of the garage, because I didn't want my new wood to smell like diesel fuel. You know? But it was that anticipation. It's going to go. It's going to go. This is a car. Just in case some people aren't here that'll listen to this, I want Pastor Rogers to know what's going on here. He'll have the whole church in Kenya praying, oh, pray for Brother Day, he doesn't feel well. Anyway, the anticipation and the assurance it's going to happen. You see, this is how we need to live, trusting God with anticipation and assurance. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Let's look at next year. It's going to happen. Starting, let's get a run into it. Just begin to expect. Just begin to declare to God, God, you are able. I mean, you really, really are able. And if you want to increase my credit line, I'm going to use it. I'm going to do my best to, I'm going to do my best to overuse my credit, because I can't. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this, that you have given us unlimited credit, and that there is a way that is right to you, that is unlimited in the care and the love and the compassion that you have toward us. And God, we need to live in that to reveal to the world that you're everything that you say that you are. You are for us. We can be happy about that. We can be overwhelmed with your goodness. And we can share that goodness. It's just God's good. What do you know today? I just know God's good. I just know God's good. So bless the Hosanna family, Lord. Bless the Hosanna family here and in Kenya and whoever else that we touch around the world. Bless the people who couldn't be here this morning. May they be blessed. And may those who could be here this morning experience an instant acceleration, and with everything that is necessary to help others to accelerate as well. We thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.